This is how we handle things down in Toontown.
Show. I kind of like these afternoon shows.
Are you not sure what today is, Ryan?
I'm never sure what today is. I got my Maker's Mark on right now. Daydreaming.
Nice. That's my bourbon, baby. It's good shit.
Love me some Maker. So smooth.
Yeah, you... When we do a night show, I'm usually so stoned from being stoned all day that I can't put two sentences together. So it's nice when it's during the afternoon, you know, when I'm only a bowl or two into the day. You know, still have my thoughts together for the most part.
A lot of
you are sharp. You are sharp.
I'm sharp as a
sharp
as a
and ready to go.
We're doing
sharp
a show.
I've been huffing
all afternoon, guys, so I'm ready.
but yeah, if you can't tell, we're still all on Skype. But maybe what, in another month, we'll be back in the studio. Everyone will be here. So that'll be nice.
Yes.
That'll really change things.
I cannot wait. This is old.
Yeah, this is super old. We have fucking audio issues and delays. Yep. Like Mike was saying, this was cute for a couple of episodes.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting to get real fucking old.
Yeah.
We don't have the cohesion. It's just not the same show when we can't be together, I feel like, you know.
Yeah, I feel the same way. You know, it's funny. Even though we've been on Skype for a while now, every time we record, like today, even today, I woke up this morning... My initial thought is, oh, shit, the guys are coming over soon. And then I go, oh, fuck, yeah, they're not. We're on Skype. But I think that, like, every time. It's weird. I come into the studio and I have to rearrange. I have stuff set up a little bit different here right now because you guys aren't here.
It makes it easier for me.
He doesn't have like stuffed animals in like all of our chairs. He has like a pretend podcast.
The glass coffee table right over there. Yeah. Yeah. I have the whole thing going.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Glass coffee table.
I got the whole thing, man. Right now, it's more ergonomic for me in here, but I'm looking forward to getting everyone back in here. It's going to make the show a lot easier and I think better. The show's way better when we're all in the studio.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think it is.
As long as Eric's not, you know, having chemical shit, you know. I re-listened to that episode recently. My guy was that funny. Like, when you hear it, a long time. What was that, a year ago?
I think so, yeah.
Maybe.
Something like that. Like, re-listen to stuff like that. Like, that is like a highlight reel of disaster.
Ari. Our reactions to that whole thing were just so, like... It was just so, like... I don't know. Yeah, like it was. We were all just like shocked at the.
It was so bad. Yeah. What was? Oh, I was
threw up.
Drinking shitty beer and eating hot wings all day.
I literally almost threw up.
And he came in and sprayed me like directly in the face with the air freshener.
He maced you. I remember that.
He maced me. He didn't even know what he was spraying at, and he didn't care.
That was some good
old
Airwick.
He just knew that the smell had to go away. He got me right in the face.
Right,
I guess that was payback.
I'm going to gag.
I have a weak stomach for that type of thing. Yeah, it's...
weak stomach? Yeah, that's what he said.
It's rough.
Oh, that's the point. Yeah, that was an all-time moment right there.
What episode was that again?
Super Punch-Out. It was a Super Punch-Out.
It was Super Punch-Out. I don't remember the actual number.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, I think it was last season.
We all, like, cleared the fuck out. That was crazy. No, I got up. I was the only one. You guys just sat here, right?
We just sat.
We were breathing in. I don't know what the hell was going on with you.
They liked it.
Well, I stuck my fucking shirt over my face for a while, so I was good there.
Right.
Just bad.
But yeah, I kept asking. I was like, should we stop? Should we stop the show? And Eric goes, no, we're professional. We're going to keep going.
We're professional.
Rory's like, yeah, professionals shit themselves in the studio. Oh, fuck.
But my point is, like, those types of things, like, they're not staged. Like, those are, like, that's just how bad our show is. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, like, it just like goes right off the rails naturally all the time. And, you know, even if like we're trying to be professional, somebody ends up shitting their pants. Dude, like, it's amazing.
I'll tell you what,
it's inevitable.
Yeah, a lot of podcasts, you know, in all different genres, they do Skype all the time. And I don't know how they do it, man, because it's a lot harder, because a lot of delay. You talk over each other a lot by accident. It's
right. You think they probably,
it's way harder.
When it's a one-on-one, like if Rogan does an interview one-on-one, and it's just one person, it's a lot easier. But when there's four of us, it's
kind also of like when you have a podcast and you started that way, like you started just Skyping, that's all you know. You don't even know what it's like to be face.
Yeah.
Like we've been doing face-to-face for fucking 4 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is like, not having a soundboard in front of me, I don't know what the fuck to do. I just like,
I miss it too, Mike.
Dude, I miss it also. I'm actually looking forward to not having the soundboard and giving it back to Mike. For me, it's distracting running that and then doing this.
You got a lot of shit on your plate.
So, you know,
trying to do this.
I'm looking forward to
add like the soundboard.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Mike coming back.
A lot.
Didn't think of it. But we have a good show today, though. We're still going to put on a good show, even though we're still on Skype. We're going to talk about the Roger Rabbit later on in the show, the movie and the game for the NES.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, looking forward to this. A classic game about a rabbit.
Classic game? I disagree.
I think this game's pretty classic.
It's a classic in the sense that I'm sure most people our age have played the game, despite it being absolutely terrible.
Yeah,
I feel like I remember renting this all the time when I was younger.
Yeah,
I will never forget
and not getting anywhere. And not getting anywhere.
It's terrible, but I'll never forget this game. You could say Who Framed Roger Rabbit, the NES game, to I think anybody in our age range, and they would know. They know.
Yeah.
Nope. Never played it before this show.
Nothing's in this building.
I was duped. Even at that age, I knew not to be duped by games made after movies because they were all terrible.
Before the show?
Never played it.
Oh, wow.
Not before the show. And I actually, I hadn't seen the movie since I was about 10 years old. The first time I saw it, I was probably 6. And I hadn't seen it since I was 10. So to watch it as... of what, the movie?
Yes.
I think the movie's fantastic. I mean, I know we're not...
No, I mean, that movie. That movie is...
But we're going to...
Like, it is disturbing.
Yeah, well, sure it is. Sure it is. Yeah, we'll talk about it.
We gotta save this for later on in the show. Can't spoil it all now. We got a lot of good stuff coming up, I guess. I don't know. We probably don't.
We're also
gonna do the Odyssey.
We probably don't.
And then before we do the Odyssey, the guys are gonna ask me questions about random shit, right? Is that how that's gonna work? I don't know how the segment's gonna go.
Eric,
we'll find out.
What's the segment called? This was your idea.
This wasn't my idea.
I just remember when I was in Thailand and I would just muse about things and I would think, I wonder what Ryan would think of that. So that's life when I, life's questions, Ryan.
But first, let's get to the mailbag.
When you control the mail, you control information.
So have you laid this mailbag?
All right, time for the mailbag. We have two emails here. You guys ready for some email questions? Some of them might be statements. I don't really know. They might not just be questions. I don't know. We'll find out here. All right. The first one is from Jiraiya. He says, "Gents, I wanted to say thank you for the great humor and content that you bring to the show. I am in the middle of a very nasty divorce, and all you guys help bring a smile to my face, even during the toughest times."
God damn.
That's what we're here for. He continues, "I usually listen to the show while I run, and Eric often says something that makes me laugh so hard I have to stop and compose myself before I start back up again." So he must be the weirdo on the path that keeps stopping and laughing to himself, and people are like, stay away from this guy.
If he thinks I'm funny, he must be a weirdo.
No.
Only weirdos would understand me.
I consider it, Eric.
Same thing a lot, actually. Eric does make me laugh a lot. Some of the...
I get that a lot from people.
But he gets pissed off.
Yeah, yeah.
I just sit back in the chair and just go, all right, just let Eric do his thing for about 5 minutes, and then we'll come back in after. And just watch the show.
We should put together a montage of Eric rants.
I got issues, man. This podcast is my outlet.
There is a segment, I don't remember, I think we were talking about overrated games or something like that, and Eric goes off about Kojima, And there's a part where he freaks and he
runs
like,
out of breath.
It's not even like what. Yes, Ryan. Yeah. And it's not even like what he's saying, but he was like, because everyone's so pissed off about their boy Kojima.
There's nothing funnier than when somebody's screaming and that angry that they run out of fucking air. That's one of the funniest fucking things.
Eric says a lot of things that make me laugh, like Aunt Matilda's not getting back the booby snatch or something like that.
What was that? I don't even remember that.
Skyrim or something? Somebody's not getting back. It's like compulsion. Like he has to go on every mission and he's getting back the booby snatch. We're not doing it. We're not going to do it. Stop.
All right. And Jiraiya continues. I have always enjoyed retro gaming and your show is in a class of its own. Appreciate you all and keep up the great work. Yeah, so he's just going, you know, Eric's fucking funny as shit, and for us to keep up the great work. Thanks for the email.
Yeah, he's going through a nasty divorce. That sucks, man. I went through a divorce. It wasn't nasty, but it's not easy no matter what. Mm. And it gets better, bro. That's all I could say. I promise you it gets better. That's all I got.
Yeah.
You know?
Jiraiya needs a nickname.
Nickname, so he runs.
He was divorced.
He likes me.
Mm. And he likes divorced. Eric.
Jesus.
He likes Eric.
So let's see.
I want to call him the one and only.
The one and only.
The one and only. Do you like it?
That's great.
Okay.
Are we doing that? Is that what we're going with?
I don't
hit it. Hit the chisel.
I don't
it
have
works
the chisel.
On multiple levels.
Ryan, how many weeks does it take to get a fucking chisel?
Fuck off, seriously. Bitch. There you go. That's Mike's coordinating.
That's like Eric's corn sex down. That's disgusting.
It's
what is
locked
that?
In. That's Mike eating corn.
Even better.
Sold it.
But yeah,
we loop that.
We don't, have
Let's
the chisel, so. That's what Mike sounds like when he eats corn.
No, it's not. I was eating corn the other day. I'm very careful. I am very. Yeah, it's an impression of my father. But I am very careful when I eat corn because I'm exactly afraid to sound like that.
Embarrassing yourself, exactly. You should
exactly.
Be like.
I am very careful.
Disgusting.
The one and only. I love it.
Right, the one and only.
All right, let's get over to the next email here. All right, this one was sent in by Kyle. He says, hey guys, hoping you're all having a nice pandemic. Been listening for a while and decided to stop being a lazy asshole and write in. I came across you guys while randomly looking up video game podcasts. I'm a driver for Staples, and being on the road all day, you need stuff to listen to in order to not go crazy.
I bet.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're on the road all day, man, you do go crazy.
I would never want to be a driver, a professional driver. Could never handle it. I'd go nuts.
Under the pressure of making deliveries and stuff like that, there's a lot of pressure there, man. Being a truck driver is a hard job. He continues, I ended up burning through the entire backlog of episodes and spent many times laughing to myself in the truck looking like a crazy person. Thanks for what all you do. Love you guys. Even Eric. He loves even Eric. Even though he says Mario like a weirdo.
Not even Eric. I got you.
Yeah, I like that better.
You gotta watch that comma, Ryan.
Jesus.
I know. I sunk into
That's
a.
I embraced the hate.
I know punctuation thing. It was like a Christopher Walken thing. I don't know what was happening there. All right.
I was so shocked by the last email. Usually, the emails about me are hate.
Yeah, you're
emails.
Getting a lot of love here. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
He has two quick questions. He says, "Have you guys ever thought about covering the PS1 Sudoku games? I know RPGs are a bit tricky for you guys, coming from a Chrono Trigger lover. Those games have some of the best music I've heard, even if the later 3D ones were trash." See, I'm not familiar with those games at all. Have you guys?
Sudoku.
Yeah.
I don't know them.
Yeah, Sudoku, I believe it's an RPG. It's for the PlayStation 1. They're on our Pis, or I have the games on the Pis. But they might not be actually on your Pis. Like, I have, like, a collection of probably 60 PS1 games, allegedly. But I don't know if I've actually put them on, because they're kind of like a game that maybe you guys wouldn't enjoy. Maybe Mike would. I know Eric wouldn't.
Mm-hmm. No, I know of the games, and it's not my bag. If you guys, congruency, I would play it. you know, if you guys wanted to, but I would hate myself the whole time.
I have never played the Sweet Oaken games, though they're on my to-do list at some point. Now, the thing that I believe that makes these games unique is I think they have like 50 characters that you can have join your party.
Oh, wow. How do you pick between them?
I think the game just, it like loops on itself all the time, and you can meet a guy, and he has one unique skill. Mm. And maybe there are a couple that are very similar.
Yeah.
But, like, I think that's the thing about at least the first one. Like, there's literally, like, 50 people you could join into your party as you play the game.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And I think Shining Force is like that, but it's not 50. I think Shining Force has a good – it might have, like, 20 different people you could put in your party.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have slightly different.
Yeah.
I'm not against doing it, but that's pretty low on our priority sheet. You know what I mean? Like, we have other games that we want to do.
Yeah, it's just not our thing, really.
All right. Well,
Ryan would hate it, too. Ryan would never make it through that shit.
I played Final Fantasy VII for some reason, and I liked it a lot when I was out of school.
For some
reason. Well, I was away at school at that time, it's early 2000s, and it was the only thing I had to do because I had no fucking money. And
that is a weird game
friends.
For you to like pick up and play. What made you want to play that? Like
a landmark game.
I needed something to play just to occupy my time in between school and work when I was away, and. So yeah, that's what I did. You know, it was, you know, I don't know. I just started playing it, and I got kind of hooked on it. It was actually the first game I ever played like that. So to me, I didn't have any kind of disdain or anything for RPGs. But I've tried other RPGs after that, but I still like that one the best so far. You know,
they don't interest me. None of them have. Like, I don't know why I love Earthbound so much because I don't ever really seek out other RPGs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's the absurdity. I think you'd like that because it's so crazy.
I've never played Chrono Trigger. Never. One of the most popular games in the history of video games, not just Super Nintendo, just all video games.
You just have no interest in it.
It's so low on my priorities. Like, and I get that people love that game and they say it's one of the greatest games ever made. I don't play it. But I have forced myself to play Live Alive, whatever it's called.
Every time Rory says that, he says it like three different ways.
Well, I don't think anybody knows how to say it.
Yeah,
like I've heard different places called. It's one of those words that it depends on how you pronounce it.
I saw it written somewhere recently, and I did the same thing. I was like, "Live alive, live alive,
fucking English,
live alive."
Yeah,
it was a Capcom game that was never released in America.
Yep,
as a translation.
He continues. Also, for a semi-hidden gem for beat 'em ups, Urban Reign for the PS2 wasn't bad. Made by Namco and loosely similar to the Tekken Force mode in Tekken 3. Pretty fun. Anyway, keep up the great work. Look forward to whatever you guys put out. That's Kyle. Have you guys ever played Urban Reign?
No.
No.
Never heard of it, actually.
Mm-mm.
I'll have to check
Urban
it out.
Urban Reign, huh?
PS2.
On the PS2?
Yeah, you said PS2.
Yeah. I missed a lot in the PS1, PS2 era. Because, I mean, I had both consoles, but I wasn't, that's part of my life where video games kind of fell off for me and drugs and girls were kind of like more important at that point.
Life.
And now that I'm older, I'm like, drugs and girls are overrated, man. Video games are like that. I've come back around full circle, you know?
That is like, you're probably going to cut this out, but that's true. Like when you're younger, like you can't be convinced that girls aren't what you should be focusing your life on. And then you get older, like our age, and you're like, women can stay the hell over there. Like it's totally, like you totally flipped on that axis. You're like, I need a goddamn woman break. Like I need to appreciate mankind.
It's all staying in the show, Rory. It's not being cut out.
Why would we cut it out? It's real fucking life.
I need it is a woman real life. Break, but it's true. True.
I've never heard of Urban Reign. I'm looking it up now.
I'd like to check it out. PS2.
The game is cheap. I mean, if I really
is it isometric, sure, Rory, or is it side scroll?
It looks like it's 3D.
All right, try it out.
If he says it's good, I mean, I'll check it out on YouTube. I don't want to watch the video. I'll check it out. I mean, I always like to hear about games. We don't know every game ever, so I mean, that's cool. I like to be introduced to shit.
Yeah, I give it a whirl. I never played it.
All right, so
Googling it here.
Kyle, he doesn't have a nickname, and he talked about a beat 'em up. He talked about an RPG. He's a driver for Staples. You know what's weird? Like right away when I heard the word Staples, I immediately think of the red stapler from Office Space, and I think of the word Shakespeare. So we call him Shakespeare? Or no? What do you think?
Shakespeare?
Yeah.
Why Shakespeare?
Well, Shakespeare is one of the most popular manufacturers of staples. It's the most, or a staple, staplers. It's the most popular brand of stapler. As a matter of fact, in the movie Office Space, you know that red stapler?
I thought it was swing line.
It's a swing line. Swing line.
What's a shape? Oh, they make fishing rods.
Shakespeare's fishing rods.
Oh,
yeah,
fuck.
The ugly stick.
Well, good thing you're here, Eric, and you fish.
The ugly stick.
I'm like, I've never heard of Shakespeare stapler, and I work in an office. Never.
I'm not getting paid to say this, but
by the way, Ryan was so confident.
Didn't I sound confident?
That was the number one.
I can sound pretty confident when I want to, and I can totally mislead people.
Yeah. We almost bought it.
You almost bought it. If Eric wasn't here, that would have flown. I had no fucking clue. So anyway, it's swing line. Well, here's the weird fact. Swing line never made a red stapler before that movie. And then after that movie, it became the most popular color of swing line staplers. So how about that?
I believe that.
Not
when my buddy got his, on my buddy's first day of his job, they put a red swing line stapler right in the, it was the only thing on his desk when he showed up to new job. It was a red swing line stapler right in the middle of the desk.
Means you're getting moved to the basement.
Yeah, storage level B.
I'll burn the place down.
Burn this bitch to the ground. I swear to God, I've done it before.
All right.
So
I want to combine a bunch of things. I want to call this man the Long Haul Shakespeare.
The Long Haul Shakespeare.
Long Haul Shakespeare.
I'll go along with that.
All right. I like that. Are we going with that?
Yep.
It's locked in.
All right. Enough.
We don't have a sound effect for like...
buy that for a dollar.
There it is.
Like that 18-wheeler, like air horn.
An air horn? No, I don't have an air horn. We should get an air horn, though.
Yeah.
That's good. That's Mike's, I don't know what the hell he was doing there. This is freaking.
All right, can you toggle Mike's orgasm and the corn blowjob together?
I accidentally hit some Roger Rabbit there.
It was perfect.
That was by accident. I didn't mean to hit the Roger. The button was right next to the other one.
Oh, that should be your nickname, Ryan. The accidental genius. That's what it should be.
All right. So
anyway, speaking of Ryan being an accidental genius.
Yeah, go ahead.
Why don't we just move on to the next segment? I was trying to give you a segue suck.
No, actually, didn't we have a nickname to give somebody from the questions for the crew?
Oh, yes.
Forgot all about that. Gollum.
That's right. Gollum. That's right. Or Gollum. I don't know how you say it. Whatever. So, yeah, we totally fucked him over on that. I remember he'd asked a question about if we could sit down with a video game boss or a bad guy and have lunch. Yeah, with a video game boss. So we got to think of a nickname for him because I promised him on Discord we would, and I don't want to look like a jerk, bigger jerk off than I already am.
I forget who we all picked for that.
I picked Handsome Jack.
Okay. Yeah, by the way, I know there were some questions. I went on Discord later, and there were some questions that we didn't get to. And honestly, it wasn't intentional. I was just kind of going right down the line on the phone and might have just skipped over a couple. But we're going to do that segment again. So, we'll try to cover them all.
It would have been like a 10-hour show. If you kept doing more questions, it would have taken forever. Yeah, we had at some point cut it off.
Yeah, we're going to try to get to everyone's stuff next time.
Well, we could do it again. I mean, we can always do the segment again.
Sure. Yeah, we'll get to it again.
Okay, he's very active on Discord. Something about
if he was having lunch. Remember Ferris Bueller's Day Off when they went to the restaurant and it was Abe Froman, the Sausage King of Chicago. What was the guy's name? What was the guy's name that worked at the restaurant? Did he have a name?
No.
Wait a minute. First of all, the Sausage King of whatever is already a great
name.
That's King
of Chicago.
Right, wherever that guy, it doesn't matter.
That's his nickname. The Sausage King of Chicago.
The Sausage King of Chicago.
Because that was the name. They used the name Abe Froman to get into lunch, to get into the restaurant. And Abe Froman was the Sausage King of Chicago.
Hold on. What does that have to do with anything of this guy's question?
It's a restaurant.
Literally
it's
nothing.
Lunch.
Does it
Where did that come from, though? No, I understand that. What does that have to do with Gollum's question?
Because he said, what video game boss would you want to go sit down and have lunch with? And in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, when they went to have lunch at that fancy restaurant, they tried to get in by calling himself Abe Froman. And then,
so the connection is lunch.
Right. The maitre d' was like, he was like, oh, you're Abe Froman, the Sausage King of Chicago. And
Mr. Frohman?
Yeah, he's like, yes, I am.
Okay. That's it then. Sausage King of Chicago.
I want to know where he's actually from. Watch him be like a European. Like, he's never even been to Chicago.
Yeah. It's like, what the fuck is Chicago? Okay. I tried to watch Ferris Bueller the other day, and I actually couldn't get through it. I used to love it, too. I used to watch it all the time. And for some reason, like, in the middle of it, I was like, what the fuck am I watching this movie?
Well, you got to do the sound effects, Ryan.
Sound effect. Lock it up, Ryan. The Sausage King of Chicago. This show's terrible. Now, Ryan, let's do not really a new segment. We're starting second round of this. We didn't give the other guys a chance the first time. It was kind of impromptu. So we're going to do life's questions with Ryan now. Ryan, are you ready?
I'm ready. And this is all based off the genesis of this was your thing in Thailand. So now those guys are getting a chance. And then you have another question.
Right. I was kind of connecting with my inner self. Okay. And, you know, I thought about your inner self and how scary that would be and how things might work in your mind.
And I have no idea what these questions are. I'm a little uncomfortable.
Right. You have no idea. Well, that's okay. You're a star. You're going to shine bright as a fucking sun. So, Mike, do you want to start? Question for Ryan.
Sure. Yeah, sure. I'll start. So, yeah, I was sitting out on the deck the other day drinking some beers. And I just thought exactly that. What would Ryan think about something here? And my question to you, Ryan, is if animals could talk, assuming animals could talk, which animal in the animal kingdom would you like to sit down and have a beer with?
All right. So I'd probably think like it would be one you wouldn't think of. You'd want to think of something that had some stability, a little bit of knowledge.
But even animals fall over.
I mean, I would probably go like kind of basic. I would probably go because I wouldn't want to talk to a penguin because what would a penguin say? They have nothing going on.
Seriously,
what would a penguin say though?
Nothing.
Probably quack.
Another animal I wouldn't want to talk to is a tortoise that lives in the Galapagos Islands because that animal lives.
That was my first thought. Yeah,
lives like 200 years, does nothing. It eats leaves and goes to bed. I wouldn't want to talk to that. It does nothing.
That's lived 200 years, though. That's kind of cool. He's seen it all.
But he hasn't seen anything. He hasn't seen a fucking thing in 200
that's
years.
That's within 100 feet of him, yeah, sure.
He hasn't seen a fucking thing in 200 years. He just wakes up.
No, he's never been to Disney World. No.
No. I actually watched a story or a thing on tortoises that live in the Galapagos probably 2 years ago.
We need the sound of the goddamn submarine going down.
And they... So, basically, it was like a half hour of a tortoise just eating a leaf. And it was the most boring thing I ever saw. And they do nothing. Because, you know, in the Galapagos, the animals aren't used to people. But they do tours there. But they might even stop those tours. I had an old boss that used to go there all the time with his wife.
Yeah, it defeats the purpose.
Yeah, they don't want the animals to get used to people because they're isolated. An animal that would see a lot would probably be like a pigeon.
A pigeon?
Well, they live in a city. They see a lot.
Sure.
I don't know how long pigeons live, but they see a lot. If you could talk to a pigeon and be like, how was your day? The pigeon would have stories for you. He would have fucking stories, honestly.
Not a baby pigeon, though. You need an older pigeon with some wisdom, right?
Yeah, like the god pigeon.
Right, the god pigeon. My thoughts exactly. But what is the god pigeon?
The god pigeon.
Somebody write in an email. That's got to be somebody's name.
New question. What is the god pigeon?
The god pigeon, I kind of forget, but he was from a cartoon. I can't remember the hell he was from.
Okay. I thought you manifested him in your own imagination just now. The god pigeon.
No, but
Godfather. Oh, like the Godfather. I know what you're talking about. It's a cartoon.
God pigeon is from the Animaniac show. Good pigeon.
That's right. But I would probably, I would definitely talk to a pigeon. I mean, you know, they're around people all the time. They hang up on top of buildings. They watch a lot of stuff. They can fly fast. The carrier pigeon. They use them in wartime, right, to deliver notes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the 1800s.
World War II. Okay. And you know when it's weird when you're down in the city, like Center City, downtown Philadelphia. You look up in the big buildings. You know the gargoyle shit, that weird stuff up there.
Yeah, like on like City Hall.
Yeah, the pigeons they get to sit up there, so you could ask them like, you know, what's that like?
Yeah.
They can see it close up. Honestly, I would talk to a pigeon. I mean, I wouldn't want to talk to an animal. Like, what would a gazelle have to say to you? Nothing. It would be like, I'd be like, what do you do? And I wake up in the morning and I try not to kill by a lion. And then I go to bed.
I run fast.
Right. And
I
a,
run
lion,
from lions.
A lion would tell you the opposite. Because I wake up in the morning. And then I
gotta go fast.
And then I try to hunt gazelle. It would get old after like 2 days. That's why I would never want to. I don't know if I'd ever want to do like an African safari, to be honest with you. I think after like 2 days, you've seen it all. I mean, they do this. The animals do the same shit every fucking day. Every day. That's nothing changes.
Eat and try not to get eaten.
Nothing changes.
To be fair, we
circle of life.
Fucking shit every day.
Actually, we do.
Yeah.
Ryan, why don't you have a show yet? My God.
All right, Rory, we got to move this along. Your turn. New
Ryan,
question.
Ryan,
that's magical. You're a magnificent creature. I got to tell you. Go ahead, Roar. Ask a question.
Ryan, I'm going to slow this down. I want to bring all the lady listeners in. I want to bring this down. I want to ask you, Ryan, man to man. Can a man and a woman ever just be friends, Ryan?
Is that your best question?
It's open-ended. You're supposed to go with the football.
Can a man
and a woman ever just be friends, Ryan? Tell
me. No.
Good answer.
That was a yes. You asked me a yes or no question, Rory.
Yeah.
All right, you want another one?
Yes, you had weeks.
Right, we won't count that one. All right, I think that was pretty good.
Better question.
Ryan, why are penguins black and white?
They live in the Arctic, right? But not all of them live in the Arctic.
No.
Some of them live in hot weather, I think, right? Or most of them don't, or some of them don't.
But they were all
not live in the Arctic.
South Pole.
South Pole. And what is it, Antarctica?
Yeah, Antarctica.
Yeah. I get them fucked up.
I don't think none
in the North Pole, no.
No.
Why are they black and white? Well, zebras are black and white, and they don't live around anything that's black and white. They live around, like, just trees and grass, which is weird when you think of it. Well, why is that? That's weird.
Right, yeah. It's kind of, you'd think they would have adapted by now that they don't stand out like fucking referees on a basketball court.
Yeah. That's their main problem.
Really? Like, everyone can, like, the lions can see them.
That's their main problem.
It is.
Aren't zebras weird? I know you're supposed to be going and doing your thing, but, like, honestly, I always thought zebras were so bizarre.
Because they're kind of like a horse.
But nobody rides them. Like, why had
nobody thought
to ride a zebra?
And they run so fast.
Well, they're wild. They can't be domesticated.
Yeah, but must be domesticated.
Horses were wild.
One time wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they probably tried to, and it didn't work out. Like,
maybe.
But I bet you, see, we're not knowledgeable enough about zebras. There are animals out there like zebras.
That's the best sentence I've ever heard in my life.
No, we see a zebra, and we go, oh, that's a horse.
No, you see a zebra, and you say, that's a zebra.
No, but you go, oh, that's close enough to a horse. You think it's related to a horse. But I've seen animals that I thought my whole life, I'm like, that's basically like a dog. And then I read, no, it's more like a cat.
Like, what?
Did you ever hear something like that?
What are you talking about?
When do we get our Grammy?
I think
what's like a dog?
All right, there's a dog out there. There's a dog out there. Everyone thinks it's like a dog. But it's more like a cat. I think it's a fox. I think a fox is more related to a cat.
Foxes are related to dogs. They're canine.
Right, but there's another animal out there. Everybody would say a dog, but it's more like a cat. And nobody would.
Really? Hyenas are not dogs?
Yeah, hyenas are not dogs. They're actually their own thing. They're not dogs.
No.
Like they come from a species that's been like totally extinct. Like they don't have like any living ancestors. Yeah, they're not dogs.
Well, they're mean, though.
They are. They're scavengers, though. They don't really hunt, do they? They're just getting the scraps.
I think they'll hunt.
Do anything.
Do they?
They got really strong jaws. I think their jaws are one of the most powerful jaws in mankind. Or the world.
The
world.
Definitely mankind.
Their jaw is like, it's more powerful than any dog, than a pit bull, I think.
Yes. They can like, crack, like, huge mammal bones.
Yeah.
Because they eat bones. Like, they can eat anything.
They're disgusting how they rip animals apart. Ugh. Do you ever watch some of that shit on YouTube?
Mm-hmm.
It is crazy.
I saw a documentary once where a bunch of hyenas were working with a mean lion to overthrow another lion.
Ugh.
Maybe you've seen this?
Oh, no.
Oh,
they were working together?
That's crazy.
They took over the pride lands. And then that lion came back, his son, and then threw out that lion and all the hyenas.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
It was called The Lion King.
So,
have you seen?
I thought I saw that.
So Rory's question was, why are penguins black and white? That might be a wonder of the world.
It's above your pay grade, huh?
That might be a wonder of the world.
Moving on. Ryan, if refrigerators spoke a language, which one would it be and why? They could talk to each other.
Instantly, I just thought Korean.
Korean? Yeah.
Because I instantly thought of a Samsung refrigerator, which I want real bad.
Oh,
some of those are amazing.
They're amazing.
Now, who would have thought a smart refrigerator? It's ridiculous.
Right? It's amazing.
You can tap the refrigerator and see what's inside.
Yeah, it's incredible.
It's crazy.
But, I mean, like, yeah, I would definitely think Korean. I mean, like, Samsung and LG, they're all over that shit. Right. You know?
They are.
They know what they're doing.
They make a fancy refrigerator, they do.
Why Samsung doesn't have a video game system out yet, you know?
Mm. Seriously, they make everything else.
Next generation.
They make washers and dryers. They make dishwashers. They make everything.
I'll tell you, you better have, like, your shit together if you're going to put a video game system out now.
Against,
like, Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft. Yeah, in the 80s, everybody fucking just put shit out, you know?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so they would speak South Korean.
So your refrigerator could
languages?
Huh?
I thought North and South spoke one Korean. I thought there was only one language.
Do they? I have no idea. I don't know.
I thought so too.
Yeah, I'm either not sure about positive. That. I mean, there's got to be different dialects because they don't talk to each other enough, right? They don't really. You know.
That doesn't mean they forgot the language.
No, but there's got to be different dialects.
A southerner, but you can understand.
You drive 7 hours north.
A guy from Texas.
Right, but you drive 7 hours north, you go to Montreal. I don't know what the fuck they're saying up in Montreal.
Well, English.
They still speak English.
Yeah, I know, but it's a thick accent. You don't know what the hell they're saying.
Yeah, but that's like saying we couldn't understand people from Texas. Like, that's not true.
They're
like,
hard to understand. What about people from the bayou?
They have their local that you might not get.
Oh, the bayou's.
Like, we have sayings.
The bayou's tough. Aside from, like, the West Coast, but the whole south of the U.S. can be kind of tricky.
Parts of, like, Ireland and Scotland. Scotland, I can hardly understand what most of those people are saying. And that's supposed to be English, and I can barely understand what Scottish people are saying.
Yeah, Scottish people, yeah. Irish people speak fast, but people say we speak fast. So I don't know.
Have you guys ever seen the movie? It's such a ridiculous title, but it's a really good movie. Have you guys ever seen the movie Sexy Beast? So
no.
It's about a mobster, and it's a movie out of the UK. The accents are so... I don't even know what it is. It's not like they're from London or even Liverpool. I don't even know what type of accent this is. The accents are so thick.
It's like a thick
that me and my wife, like, watched it. We had to actually put the fucking subtitles on.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah. We had no clue what they were saying. Yeah.
But it wasn't like... It's more than just an accent. It's
not
like
slang.
It's slang and, like, they're like, inside jokes. Like, I'm sure you've watched the original Office, the British one. A lot of American shows are British.
Mm-hmm.
The British one, to an American, isn't watchable because you don't understand all their inside jokes about Margaret Thatcher. Like, you don't get that because we're Americans. Like, we didn't live in that time.
Yeah, they're doing their own pop culture.
And things don't mean anything to us. Like, no, I don't get jokes about Tories. Like, I don't get it.
I see what you're saying. I mean, I think, though, like, when I watched the original Office, like, I didn't get that stuff, but I could understand the sentence. When I'm talking about this movie that I watched, like even Snatch, it's difficult to understand some of them in the movie Snatch or Locks. That's what I'm talking about, Snatch. So, I can't even understand a sentence that they're trying to, like, hi, I went to the mall. Like, I wouldn't have even been able to understand that.
Yeah. All right,
Mike,
where
we got another question.
All right, Mike, have another one here.
Okay, I can do it. All right, so Ryan. All right. Aliens obviously landed on in front of your house.
Yeah.
Okay, they get out of the spaceship. All right, they say, hello, how's it going? You say, hey, how's it going? They're hungry.
I had a dream about this.
They're hungry from their voyage, right?
Mm.
So what do you think? What would you cook up some aliens who just traveled? Who knows how far?
I would definitely cook them up wings. My wings.
Wings.
Really?
Wings.
a group of aliens who just arrived on the
planet. That's great. Ryan is always like confident in his answer. Like, I love it.
Best
he's like,
part.
Wings.
That's
wings.
Part. Wings. Jack Korean. Wings. No problem.
All right. Okay.
I would say, look, I wouldn't make them too hot. No. See, I have two different ways. I can cook wings fast. Are you saying if they showed up or if I knew they were showing up?
No, they just showed up. You like you just walked out of your house. And,
see, I can do that pretty quick too. Yeah. So, see, good wings take hours, guys. You know, for the draft parties and Eagles games.
Oh, you go
for a
you
1 o'clock nuts. Game, man. I'm getting started at like 8 o'clock in the morning, and I got to make sauce. I got to make. Yep.
Ryan does make good wings.
Oh yeah, we should say Ryan does. Actually, Ryan, I'll say this: you make the best wings I've ever had. I rarely order wings out because I like the way that I make wings. But when fucking Ryan makes wings, holy shit, they're ridiculously good.
You're just disappointed when you go somewhere. I'm the same way.
Oh yeah,
when I'm in a restaurant. Yeah. You're like, fuck, you know. I will get wings.
They're so very expensive. It's a trash piece of cut. It's a trash cut of meat. They're so expensive.
Always disappointing. Like he's right. Like you'll have like the wing, and it's like, motherfucker, I could have made this at home.
Yeah,
and you
could have made something better. Roy said they're a trash cut, but it's so strange they are a trash cut. They should be a delicacy. There's only two wings on each chicken, and they're so small. I mean, they should be really fucking expensive.
I mean, they are. You go to a wing place, they're like $1 a wing.
They
like
are,
wings
yeah.
to go. I don't know if that's all around the country or not, but we have a place near us called Wings to Go, and 24 wings is $23. It's like...
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculously expensive.
No, I do it the real way, man. Before like a football game or before the fantasy draft, dude, I'm sharpening the fucking butcher knife and shit.
This is a wound.
This is a wound. But I would definitely be like, you got to try my wings, guys, before you take off.
Give them something spicy.
But you know what's weird? I had a... Is your next question about aliens?
My next question?
Yeah.
Well, it's a two-parter.
Oh, you would... Oh, go ahead.
So you do wings. Okay, fine. So now, after they've eaten their wings, what do you think is
they're not
the
shitting
most
in my
important
bathroom.
Thing to... No, that's fine. What do you think is the most important place that they need to see either around, I don't know, Pennsylvania, Philly, the world? What do you think they really need to see in the world after they've had a belly full of wings?
I think we just get in the car and drive down the Wildwood and just hang it on the beach. Go to the boardwalk. I think I would take him to the boardwalk.
Well, there'll be no traffic. He can just fly.
Yeah, we go down to the Wildwood Crest. Wildwood Crest, sit on the beach.
SUV on the way down.
Sit on the beach in Wildwood Crest, and then afterwards get cleaned up and go up to the boardwalk. It'd be fun.
Yeah, it sounds like
okay. All right. Fair enough. All right. Final question. Rory asked two. Mike asked two. I'm going to ask you one more. If the human race was conquered.
I hit that by mistake. I accidentally hit the button.
I love it.
Okay, you're the worst.
That was fake Mike, by the way.
If the human race was conquered by an animal race, which one would you want it to be and why?
Would I want it to be?
Yeah, like if it had to be, if an animal race took us over and it had to be, which one would it be?
Well, the worst one. I know the worst one would probably be like ants.
Okay, well, we can do that.
Ants. Ants would be fucking awful.
Okay. That would be bad. If they were in charge, that would be bad.
That'd be a headache. Because they're way stronger. And if ants were bigger, forget it.
Forget it. Yeah.
Forget it.
They could carry 100 times their own.
You'd want to go with something friendly.
Ants are smart. It's fucking nuts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would go Puggles.
Puggles.
If Puggles took over the world, and they, I would feel like they're being honest, and you know, I'd be like, all right,
cool. You mean the dog?
No, it's a pug and a poodle mix.
A Puggle,
right? Isn't that what you mean?
Hey,
a Puggle.
It's like my parents' dog, Dexter. Right.
A pug. I agree. '80s kid show.
Is it?
I swear to God,
wait,
Puggles is an '80s kid.
Either
show.
Way, a Puggle in this day and age is an animal breed. It's a pug mixed with a poodle.
Yeah, my parents
that
have
is something
one.
Else.
Dexter.
Puggles. Yeah, so Puggles should rule the world.
Totally friendly, laid back.
Awesome. Well, Ryan, you are a magnificent piece. That was incredible and way better than any of us could ever have expected. There's a lot of good info out of that and a lot of good t-shirts coming. Because there were lines from that need a t-shirt. That's all I have to say about that.
I have breaking news.
What?
In the middle of the Odyssey.
All right, what's your breaking news, Roy?
The 80s doll were not called Puggles. They were called Popples.
Oh, I remember Popples.
And they converted into a different type of toy.
Yeah, so. They were the things that, they would be a ball, right? And you'd pop them out. What was the thing that was similar to that? It was like, was it glow bugs or glow worms or something like that? It was like something, I remember seeing a commercial for that. But popples were the ball.
Yes, let's go with that.
Yes.
Podcast. And of course, we're going to talk about what we've been playing. Listen to those horns. Mike, who does this song, by the way? Who is the composer?
Strauss.
Oh, it's Strauss. He did a hell of a job. He's living on.
Hell of a horn.
hell of a horn.
Man knows his way around a horn.
All right, let's go first on the Odyssey.
Oh, shit.
I have to. Okay.
You gotta take a piss? Dude, I gotta piss really bad.
I do too. Can we all just take a piss? Let's take a piss.
We return you now to your regularly scheduled program.
I finished Fallout New Vegas. I got around to it. We haven't actually taped the show in probably a couple of weeks now. So
you've been playing
three,
a ton of that.
Three
game,
at least. Yeah.
I probably put in 100 hours.
I see you all the time.
Wow.
I've been playing till like 1 o'clock in the morning, like every goddamn night, because I can't really start before 10. And then I get hooked in, and I'm like, all right, one more thing. I've done a lot of missions that I didn't do because I closed doors off, or I never discovered them, which is weird. Most of them aren't that good, like the ones that I missed, but I think I've probably played all the content. I probably got to about 95% of what I can do. I ended up going with Mr. House. I thought that was fun. And
is it from Police Academy, Mr. House?
It's exactly like Police Academy,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, House
Police and, Academy. You know, I beat the game with all of the endings in the past, and this is probably like the eighth time I've played the game or something like that. So it was fun. It was a good time. If you've never played Fallout New Vegas, you really ought to play Fallout New Vegas. It really is. Like, skip 3. 3's not nearly as good. Fallout New Vegas is where it's at with the story and, like, the overarching plots and the faction system. It's just such a well-done game. I had such a great time playing it. And right now I'm playing Diablo 3 on the 360 with my brothers.
Mm.
And I've never played Diablo, any of them.
It's fun.
It is fun. It's basically Gauntlet.
Mm.
And there's different classes. I'm playing the Witch Doctor because I always play like the Barbarian class is what it's called in this game. But I usually play a tank. Like I usually play a really strong guy, like all the Dragon Ages.
How many players is it?
It's 4 players simultaneous.
Oh, really? Oh, fuck.
So the game is not backwards compatible, which is why I'm playing on 360. The version is it's actually been upgraded and ported with a DLC called the Reaper of Souls Edition, which Ryan and I have on our PS3s, but he probably can't play it anymore because of suspicious reasons.
Yeah. Well, I accidentally hooked my PS3 up to Wi-Fi, and immediately it updated the firmware and totally wiped.
Zapped all your shit?
It zapped the mod off, and it's irreversible. Can't do it.
So, well, there's probably ways to do it now. We haven't, like, been following up on it. But it is kind of like a dead system. Well, it's definitely a dead system. So I'm playing Diablo 3. My brother, he's the one is a demon hunter, which is like a crossbow-based type of class. So he's a distance fighter, and I'm a witch doctor, which is like a hybrid of distance and in your face. I'm using all of the animals, so I'm kind of like Ryan in a sense, where like I have my animal friends attack me.
Go on.
Now Ryan wasn't listening
you
until
have me now.
You had me at animal.
So again, like usually games when I play them, I'm usually a tank. I'm usually up in your face, like hitting you with a sword, and I have high armor. And this time, I was like, I'm going to play a support class or somebody in the background. So it's interesting. It's not my first inclination. I'm like having to tell myself, get out of the fight because you'll get murdered because I don't have good armor. And my guy, in fact, I will get murdered if I get hit by a strong enough person within 2 hits. But, like, the point of this class is you have to just send out... Well, there's 3 different ways you can play, but, like, the way that I'm playing is animal-based. So I'll send out, like, poison spiders or poison fire bats, or I have dogs, like demon, they're called demon dogs, that are these dogs that just like attack people all the time. And you just keep throwing more and more out, and they just wear down, and they beat guys down over time with status effects and shit like that. And it's fun. We're still in Act 1. We probably played about 10 hours altogether, but my brothers are playing. The other one, he's the barbarian class, so he's like I'm up in everybody's face beating their asses. So it's a fun game. I'm gonna finish it. You'll probably hear at least one more Odyssey. I think the game is about, on the 360 area, it's like a butchered port in some ways. So I think the game will be over in 30 hours.
Yeah, it's not super
We're not completionists. We're just playing the game to get it over with. It's a game that I got for $5 years ago. And I never got around to playing it. And my intention was to actually finish out all the non-backwards compatible games I have that are in my backlog to unplug the 360, which is kind of like a sad moment in time. But I really haven't played the 360 in probably a year. So I'm like, why is this thing still hooked up?
Yeah.
When it first came out, I'm sorry, go ahead, Roar.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm just saying it's one of those, that's why I'm trying to knock it out. But I'm having a good time with it. And it's always fun to play with other people. Any game can be better with other people.
When it first came out, people were a little apprehensive about how could they make this game work on console? Because Diablo was a PC game specifically. So each character has so many moves that they were saying, you know, without a mouse, how the hell could you even pull this game off? But it was really fluid, and I thought it was really easy to play. The way they did the menu for the attacks, you know, what is it, you hold Y and a whole list of them comes up or something, and I don't know. I thought it worked out great. It was a lot of fun.
I mean, they're all mapped. I guess it'd be better with a keyboard, but whatever. I mean, I think it's perfectly serviceable. I mean, apparently we're playing on normal. Apparently there's no benefit unless you play on the very highest difficulty. Like, you get the same XP, and the loot drop ratios aren't any different if you played on the easiest setting versus one under the very highest.
It doesn't drop as many legendaries if you play on the higher difficulty level? It doesn't drop more?
I don't think on the console versions it does. That's what I saw. I don't know if that's true. That's what I saw on YouTube by a guy who was talking about the different classes.
Yeah.
And the differences between the console version and, like, because on the PC, obviously, they actively support it. And they have, like, what are called seasons of the game, where they change, like, the payout ratios and, like, I mean, this is the type of game where you just grind and grind and grind and redo levels to get better shit, to get matching gear, because if you have a matching set of outfit, you get a higher boost to your experience and your weapon damage and your outputs and all. I don't care about any of that shit.
It's the original loot horror game. Loot is terrific. It's the best part of the game, and it's really, really, really well done.
You redo
levels?
I'm
not going out of my way. If I find cool stuff, I'll use it, but I'm not going out of my way. I don't care.
But you redo levels? It's not like Gauntlet, then. Like, you know, Gauntlet, you progress.
Well, like, they'll have, like, the map will open up, and they'll have, like, the field of sad people. And you have to walk through the field of sad people to get to a new area that was locked off before.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I get that.
You're redoing levels, you're re-entering areas. So I should say that.
So, it's not like you're playing Gauntlet 4 and you're redoing the tower again. Or something like that. You're not redoing the whole thing over.
Yeah. You have to go through like certain areas to open up other areas that have been unlocked.
I like to play it then.
It's a good game.
Is it a game where I could join and play you guys now, even though you guys are already playing?
Yeah, you'd have to buy the game somewhere. I mean, the regular game for 360 is probably, I got it 2 years ago for $5.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I'll give it totally, a shot. It's what totally the fuck? Playing. I mean, if you could find it, join us. I know Eric had it.
Yeah,
I have it. Yeah. I don't know if I lent it out to somebody. If I have it, I'll give it to you so you can play.
All right, yeah, be cool.
I'm sure I have it here. I just got to go through these bazillion fucking games here.
Actually, Gauntlet would be a game that we should talk about eventually.
Back when I used to write articles, I kind of gave up on that with a second child. But I had a, you know, why isn't this a thing? Something like that. And like I said, like, why don't they revamp Gauntlet and combine it with the Dark Souls engine? Like, it seems like it's something that you could bring out of the arcades and make, because in Dark Souls, for example, I think you can have like 8 people if you count invaders
in
one map all fighting. So why couldn't you have 4 players co-oping in a dungeon in like that 3D world perspective? I mean, the engine can handle it. So like, why don't they make something like that? Doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. Kept the gameplay kind of simple. It'd be fun.
So I'm playing Diablo 3.
Cool.
It's not the best port of Diablo 3. As my understanding, the PC versions are obviously going to be superior in every way, but it's still a good game. I highly recommend it. I'm having a good time playing with my brothers.
All right, who's up next?
Maybe you, Ryan. Maybe you, Ryan.
Maybe me someday.
All right, so I'm still playing Skyrim, of course.
Yes!
Oh, yes, yeah. Back so home. I'm about 200 hours, around 200 hours, 200,000 gold. And
sick.
Now they have me. Now this DLC. See, this was already an issue when I first played it.
No,
now they have me. Now they have me building a house.
Mike's okay? pulling his seat up. He's like, I gotta hear this.
This wing. This house has three wings, and I have to collect all this material. Okay, like there's an. It's an option. It's optional. You don't have to build all three wings. You
not in your
to.
World, it ain't.
Not in my world. It's not fucking optional. It's not optional, not my world. So, now, keep in mind, I will never live in this house. I will never store a thing in this house. It's not convenient, okay? Because where they have it is nowhere near a town. Now, when I have my house and I have to store things in it, I need a blacksmith nearby. I need to be able to make shit so that I can sell it right away, right? So my question is, what the fuck were they thinking? Not allowing you to have like a blacksmith or somebody you can sell shit to near this house. They give you a specific place to build it.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point because you're going to waste a shitload of time going back and forth between cities and whatever. That's a very good point. Why don't they allow you to have a smelter?
Yes.
Why can't you have a good smelter?
Well, that's a bitch. You can't get a forge. They won't give you a goddamn forge. You can't build a forge in a house. So there's a smelter, which is useless.
Yeah,
because there's no way to make anything there, and then there's nobody to sell it to. So I'm building this whole house. The shit you have to find, like I have to kill all these animals to put their heads up, and I have to get all this wood, and I have to go to the rock quarry.
Now hold on a second. Hold on. I'm sorry to interrupt. Now you said you have to kill all these animals. Is that a quest? Do you really have to? Okay.
Every single thing in this house must be put in. All the options have to go into it. There's like 8 beds, so I need a ton of straw. I need all this wood. I need to keep making nails, and I need to keep making hinges, and it never ends. So I buy every iron ignit I can find anytime I'm anywhere, and I store them there. I got like 500 iron fucking ignits in the chest there at this fucking house I'm building. I got like 600 wood to build everything for a place that once it's done, I'll never go to again. This is the sickness. This is the sickness. I can't not do everything. And this isn't for every game. This is not how I am for every game, but for this game.
Why?
I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I'd get totally captured by it. The game totally owns me, and I can't not do everything. The game of me. I will say a very nice thing is it loads weight.
Whenever I think of Skyrim,
you know what,
I immediately think of
Eric. I
ask
you that about this reboot or whatever. It's not really. Is it a reboot or it's just them?
No, it's the same game. They just made it prettier. They just made it prettier and included all the DLC.
So the load times are faster.
Oh, they're so much better. If I had to guess, if you added up all the time I fucking waited on load screens the first time I played this game on 360.
Oh my God.
It was probably 10 hours all by itself. Just waiting.
And, as you moved on, like as you moved on up in level,
it got worse.
By the way, Fallout New Vegas, that's something I did notice. The backwards compatible version of Fallout New Vegas on the Xbox One loads much quicker. Like, it's a much faster game. It's a better experience.
Absolutely.
So take it away.
So thank God for that. I'm wasting time doing things that don't need to be done, but at least I'm not waiting to waste time. I'm not wasting time to hurry up and waste time. I'm just wasting time.
Yes.
For whatever reason.
Another song.
Yeah, do you guys use a horse when you play Skyrim?
Never.
The funny thing is, like, sometimes I'll get frustrated because I don't know exactly where to go, and I'll just grab a horse and attempt to just get over the mountain by glitches.
Yeah.
And then that's really the only time I'll get a horse.
Right, yeah. I don't feel the need for it. I think it takes you away from the game. Like, you know, enjoying the scenery while I'm walking through the woods and the mountains and shit. It's part of the joy of it.
Yes, yes. It's also real, like, it's not a great mechanic. I mean, if you play, like, a game like Red Dead or Red Dead 2, like, the horse mechanic is, like, it's... perfect. Skyrim, it's not. It's real
awkward.
I don't know. It is awkward. It's like loose, dopey. Super sensitive. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's dopey. That's the best way I can. Yeah. So I don't use it at all. I don't know why. I guess I know why they have it, but I can't be fucked to use the horse. I really don't care. But the biggest problem is inventory management with this game. This is like a loot horse dream, this game, but at the same time, it's a fucking nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can own, there's so much shit everywhere, and I want it all, and I want to take it all, but you can't take it all. But I did get the heavy armor perk where it doesn't weigh anything. So I opened up like, I don't know, like 50 items in the inventory, 50 weight, you know, 50 pounds of weight. So that's good.
Well, what do you mean the heavy armor?
So the heavy armor has in the perk tree, in the heavy armor tree, skill tree, there's a perk where if your heavy armor weighs nothing, basically, as long as you're wearing it. So it doesn't count towards your inventory.
All right. Yeah.
Which is nice. But at the same time, I got these Nightingale boots, right, which are light armor. So I don't mind losing that weight in certain situations because the enemies had no fucking idea I'm there with these things on. Like the quote for it is like muffled sound and you know, they can't hear you at all. So
yeah, but you don't even play that way. You're not playing as a fucking sneak.
Well, no, but I have to get sneak to 100. So
I'm doing it.
So I use the Nightingale boots, and then I've been getting into the archery a lot because the archery is a lot of fun. But I can stand right next to somebody. My sneak's only at like 80 something. My archery's at like 95. So I can like walk right next to a guy, and I'm not sure if he's a friendly NPC or not because like he doesn't attack me, and I keep forgetting it's because he doesn't even know I'm there, even though I'm standing right in front of him because of these fucking Nightingale boots.
Oh.
So anyway, sneak's getting up, archery's getting up. So anyway, that's a little confusing when you run into a guy that fucking he doesn't know you're there when you're standing right in front of him. That's kind of broken. But anyway, yeah,
there's a couple weird things about that. Definitely about that game.
Yeah, it's got glitchy, and I haven't had a quest completely break on me, but I've had to do some runaround bullshit to fucking make things work. I'm surprised I haven't gotten totally screwed. I thought the main quest bugged on me, but it didn't. I'm almost finished that. So I got the companions, well, I told you last time. Companions are done. Thieves Guild's done now. All I have left is the Dark Brotherhood. I'm in the middle of doing that now.
That's a fun quest.
It is. I think it's the best guild of all of them. But, like, do you ever notice, like, you're killing, like, innocent people? Like, these people really aren't bad. Like, you're basically killing people for the money. You know what I mean? It kind of feels dirty, you know?
Yeah. I mean, at the very beginning of that quest, I think you have to kill, like, a teacher, right?
Yeah. Well, no, she's the head of the orphanage. She's an awful bitch.
Oh, yeah, she's terrible. Does she just rip an arrow through the head?
No. Somebody does the ritual, and you have to do it. You know, it's like, oh, well, they perform the ritual. We got to go murder them. It's like, okay.
Is that the quest where you end up in, like, the coffin with, like, the
Nightmother, yeah.
The Nightmother. That is fucking freaky.
That's freaky as shit with that fucking jester Cicero. Yeah, he's a fucking
yes.
The whole thing is a trip. It really is. But do you find it weird, like, the Fallout games do this, too, where, like, you do, like, a couple errands for them, and you've known them all of, like, a week, and they've been together for, like, 50 years, and then you're the leader all of a sudden of every single one. It's like, oh, well, you killed that guy and found the magic hat. We're going to make you the leader of the guild now.
That's how it works.
Yeah. So I'm not going to drone on about this. I'm really into the game. I love it. Solitude is my favorite place. I think it's my favorite city with the whole castle theme going on and the flowers all over and being up on top of that mountain overlooking the sea there on that arch. It's just really,
what's the one that's like kind of built into the mountain? Is that Solitude or Markarth?
That's Markarth. Yeah. That place is cool. That place is cool too with the waterfalls and shit. That place is cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's that really crazy quest in Markarth, but it's called the abandoned house or something like that.
Yeah, the Molag Bal.
Yeah, and then you have to beat the shit out of the priest. It's crazy.
Yeah, some of those Daedric fucking gods are assholes, man. Mm. They're total assholes, but that's another thing. I need to get 15 of them. I have a 10 right now. So we're looking at another 100 hours. I thought I could get this thing done in about 200, but I'm there now, and it's just not going to happen. There's still too much to do.
I feel like so, I want to get into this now.
Yeah, Ryan, I don't know, bro. It's like your nightmare. There's a lot of not playing the game going on.
Are you like
the best way I can describe that.
Like
the weird thing though is, Ryan, it's like it's one of those games where it's not like
it's not mandatory. Like you, what I'm doing isn't mandatory.
No, but I feel like Ryan would like a game more, and I don't even think he would like this game, but more like The Witcher than Skyrim.
Yes. It's less, there's less onus on you to upgrade your shit.
Okay, The Witcher's like that. Less bullshit. Well, I get to upgrade weapons. I can just fucking
Oh, no, there's lots of bullshit in The Witcher 3. Right.
It's just, don't call it bullshit. It's one of the best parts of the game, Michael.
You know what I need? Here's what I want. I want a game that's kind of like Skyrim, kind of like Contra. Like, can we find middle ground? Where I walk around like fucking Scorpion.
A fantasy shooter?
Yeah, and that's it. And I just walk the fuck around. And I have a mission.
It's called Red Dead.
I guess you're right, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that game exists. Listeners, if you can think of anything what Ryan's talking about, I can't come up with anything. Let us know on Discord. But
somebody needs to come out with a game like that.
You want like an open world game where you can dick around in the open world, do different things, but
everything I do has to be real time, like in the moment, no menus, and I deal with something and I move on. And that's it. Right?
Yeah.
That's what I want.
I do like those games where like you play a mission, you get a bunch of perks, and you pop on that menu and you're like, okay, let's see what we can fucking do here.
Look
at all this shit that I got.
I'm so bad with
this. What am I gonna do with it? And that's like I said before.
What am I going to sell?
You forgot to mention Eric took a picture on Xbox. He posted it where it's him and the dog, the talking dog.
I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that. What?
I didn't see that. Where'd you post it on? Where'd you post it?
On Xbox Live. You can, like, if you take it automatically, like, I didn't really set it to do that. It automatically does it. If you take a screenshot, it'll put it in, like, your hub or whatever for the online community. And people can look at the screenshots they took if they hover over your name and shit. But yeah, I just took some that I thought were, you know, pretty vistas or whatever of it. But then I had, there's this mission, one of the Daedric Lords, I forget which one it was. I had this dog lead me to the cave where the Daedric Lord statue was so that I could talk to him. And that's just like a really funny quest. So I thought
that is a funny quest.
Yeah.
Of that, you know. But anyway, yeah, moving on again. I hope not to have to do this for too many more episodes.
It's all right.
Do Skyrim for my Odyssey. But That's it for now.
Who's up next? Oh, Mike, right? You're up.
Okay. All right. So I finished Quantum Break.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Kudos, Remedy, for a job done. All right, I had a complaint about final bosses, and let me tell you something. I I don't really want to play a video game after this. This was like so annoying to me. This was one of those games that made me never want to play. I should have never played this game, which is a shame because I really liked Alan Wake and I liked where they were going with it. And this game started off that way. It was like, hey, Ryan, you were talking about Gears 5. You were talking about how, like, you started playing Gears 5. It was great. You really liked it, this, that, and the other. And then all of a sudden, something changed. Mm-hmm. You're like, this game is awful.
Yeah.
This is what happened with this game. Like, I really liked it. Things were happening. It was great. And then all of a sudden, like this game is nonsense. Mm-hmm. It's bullshit. It's fucking, like, they have you have all these perks, and you can't fucking figure out when to use them. It just got like, I don't want to say it got way too hard. I think really what it was like, I was just getting like, I wanted the game to be done. So I was like, let's get through it. Fuck, I lost again. Anyway, here's the complaint that I have. Okay, so I get to the fucking final boss. All it And if you give a shit about the game, I guess try to, you know, skip ahead of the podcast. But so the final boss, all it is the guy, Peter Baelish, the guy from Lord of the Rings. He comes out, says a bunch of dumb shit, goes on to like a higher like platform or something like that. Got a big red thing around him. There's a fucking bunch of like troopers that come out of the side. And now I'm killing a bunch of like troopers rather than the fucking final boss. Then I clear the thing of the troopers. Then he has, like, the big red thing that goes around him, goes through the whole screen, and it's a fucking insta-kill. All right? Okay, it's an insta-kill. Now I'm dead. All right, I got to start over. Okay, here's the problem. So now, when they start you over, when you die in this game, they put you in the it's almost like it's, like, a big middle finger to you. So it's like they put you in an area where there's no reason for you to go to that area. Where should they put you at the beginning of the battle?
Correct.
Where do they put me?
Okay.
They put me in a section where I got to walk across a catwalk, go up to the thing, and then press a button, and then the battle starts again.
I hate that.
Just put me, I don't even have, and then the cutscene starts.
I didn't mean it.
They have another cutscene. I don't the cutscene. Just start me at the beginning of the fucking battle. Start me at the battle so we can do this again. Okay. Now, I do this all again. So, all right, we got to do it all again. Okay, so now the enemies come out. All right. He does that big fucking thing, the red thing. Now you figure out, okay, I got to run all the way to the end of the wall to avoid it. And the red thing comes back. Yeah. Then guess what? There's a whole other wave of goons or whoever, right? They all come out. Now there's more of them. They all come out. You're trying to fight them. And it's not like they're any more difficult. These are a bunch of people that you fought before, right? There's just a shitload of them. So now, guess what? If you get killed by them, which is real possible because they're throwing bombs and shit. If you get killed by them, guess what happens? What you should do is start at the beginning of that second wave. No, they make you start the same place. You got to walk across a fucking catwalk. Okay, and then do it again. And then for a while, I didn't know what the fuck to do because this big red thing kept going through the whole screen that he had. So it was like, what do you want me to do? So I'm dying and dying and dying. Then I realized it's like three different waves.
Right.
It was like, okay, fine. Three different waves. Now, here's my biggest complaint with this shit. Three different waves, and then he, after he does the wave, he like kind of cowers. He's like, oh God, I can't fucking do this shit. And then like you shoot him. One shot. The game's over. In one shot. My problem is, why do they make final boss? Like, I loved Bioshock. Okay, but the final boss of Bioshock, Frank Fontaine, was nonsense. It was so fucking, it was like, there was no climax to
Like, dude, when a final boss,
game.
Yeah, when a final boss is not worth your time, it sucks.
Listen, devalues the the whole game, they give you all sorts of different fucking, you know, power-ups.
Okay.
Time rush, like a time shield, like a ton of them. A ton, in my opinion, too many.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? How many of them do you think you needed to use when you were fighting the final boss, essentially? Zero. You didn't need to use any of them. You didn't need to use what you needed to do. You needed to use them against the fucking, like, the guys coming.
Yeah,
But to actually fight the final boss, some guy who just had this red shield that went through the screen and was insta-kill?
Yeah.
Dude, fuck this game. I can't believe it. And apparently they put a ton of money into this thing. Microsoft put like a ton of money into this. I mean, I don't know if I'm wrong. I don't know if
I
played this wrong. But like, this game was awful.
It wasn't good.
It almost sounds like what you're saying is, like, you're a musician. Like, everything's off key. Like, the entire game is just doesn't match up. And everything's a little off the entire game.
That's a great way to put it, Ry.
It actually is a great way to put it. What they just tried to do was they tried to take like every element in gaming, okay? Cutscenes, storyline, combat, a puzzle element, and they tried to do way too much with it.
Yeah.
Okay. There were parts where like after you would do a battle, there were these puzzles. And at first they were really cool. Mm. They were like kind of neat. Like they were like these time like this is an exact puzzle, but let's say a truck falls over, right? But it's caught in a time loop. So the truck keeps falling down, then coming up, up. Okay, you have to figure out how to get past it. So at the beginning, that shit was cool. But then it seemed like you were like, I know what to do. You would hit a button, and the button wouldn't fucking work.
Okay.
So then you would do it like, you would get caught and they were all insta-kills. Hmm. So then you'd have to do it again. It was like all of a sudden, and then all of a sudden the button would work. And the thing is, like, I know I'm pressing the right fucking button.
Yeah.
It just seemed like
it was like real inconsistent. The entire game.
Yes, it just seemed like this shit worked when it wanted to.
Yeah.
But really, when I got to the end, and that boss was like the boss at the end of Bioshock, like, at least, like, Bioshock was just such a fucking good game. It's just that the final boss was very disappointing. I was like, dude, this is terrible. Yeah. Don't give me some, like, shit boss who has no, like, I should be utilizing everything I've learned.
Right.
Up to this point, and I'm utilizing the stuff fighting the pieces of shit soldiers coming through.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the final boss. Give me a break. So I was very disappointed. I wasn't a big fan of like the first Gears game. Mm-hmm. I would rather play that game over this. This was very disappointing, especially because I loved Alan Wake. I really wanted to like this game.
Yeah.
I did not like this at all.
Sorry, are you at the point right now where you're, don't play this game, it's a waste of time? Like, you can't even area, like, you don't even know why people would like this game. It's just not, it's not well built. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, and that's the thing, like, I hate to say that. I mean, for me, because like, it has decent reviews. And I actually went on YouTube. I was like, is there something wrong with me? And I actually went on YouTube, and I ended. There was a guy who let's played it, and he let's played it blind. And at the end, he was like, he kind of had all the same complaints I had. So I was like, okay, good, fine. I mean,
yeah. So not to change the subject too much here, but I thought it was a middling game. I didn't think it was great. I didn't think it was horrible. But we're noticing a theme here. Xbox really dropped the ball this generation on their exclusive games. I mean, Gears of War 5, we were all let down by, right? That ReCore game, that wasn't very good. It seems to me like, and this Quantum Break wasn't very good. Even the Halo game that came out this generation wasn't that great. And I don't know, going into next generation, they bought out like 15 studios and stuff. They have some good looking games coming out for Series X that are exclusive. The Scorn and Medium looks good, but they really got to pick it up for next generation, man, in my opinion, because Sony exclusive wise just blew them out of the water. I mean, Sony had a couple exclusive games that weren't that good, but almost all of them were great. Hmm. So, you know, they really got to get their shit together. I just wanted to make that point for this next generation. Microsoft needs to get it together.
Yeah, I mean, this was the only Microsoft exclusive that I've, as far as I know, that I've played. And, it was very, very disappointing. And I guess, like, the biggest problem, too, is, like, it could have been, like, it looks great. It looks really good. It's real trippy. Mm-hmm. Like, the way that, like, when you get caught in this time loop, it looks awesome. But just like the fundamentals of an actual fucking video game, they just went just shit all over the fucking place.
I probably skip that one.
I would say don't bother. Play Alan Wake instead.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm too busy. All right,
let's
move
on, guys. All right, it's Roger Rabbit.
By the way.
Yeah.
That's written by your boy.
David Wise.
You know?
David Wise.
I know it is.
It's the only song in the game. Terrible. They just play it faster when you're out in the street, right? Or something like that. I don't know. It's fucking bad.
Well, the Roger Rabbit movie actually came out in 1988. So we were just kids at that time, man. Right in the heart of the 80s. Crazy contrast. The movie was excellent.
Correct.
So good.
Yeah.
Groundbreaking.
Yeah. So, did you guys see this movie in the theater? I know Rory and I saw it in the theater with our brothers. Yes.
No.
I did not. We rented it as soon as it came out on the VHS there.
On the old VCR?
The old VCR, yeah. Yeah. With the slow rewind and shit. Back then, they didn't have their fancy fast rewind.
Now, they've had other things prior to this that mixed live action with animation. We're talking about the movie, right? Not the game.
Let's do the movie first.
And I'm positive Mary Poppins has scenes where, like, they mix Dick Van Dyke with animation. That was, like the 50s or early 60s? Yeah. And there's probably other examples, but, you know, those are the most popular things you probably would have seen pre-internet, not pre-cable, but we didn't have cable, so it had to be on network television for us to see it. But, or VHS, I guess. But the thing about this movie that really struck me as a child was not just like the interaction and like the relevance of the characters, but something that you have to stand back and look at now. It was neat as a kid, but now, especially as an adult, is that they got all these companies that have their own brands and copyrights to play nice together.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, as an adult, I can really appreciate. As a kid, I'm like, wow, Bugs Bunny, or the famous scene, the dueling pianos between Daffy Duck and Donald Duck. That's something that is a fucking copyright nightmare that would they never have again nowadays. Like, something like that would never come out. Like, they'd be fighting over pennies forever.
Mm-hmm. at the very end, where they all come out, the dip truck goes through Toontown, mm-hmm. and then they all come out, mm-hmm. like, everybody, Mickey Mouse.
Disney and Looney Tunes,
Yeah, right. Who the fuck's the other guy? From Looney Tunes, the big guy, Bugs Bunny, Albert Fuzz, everybody's fucking out. The big guy from Looney Tunes.
There's even other ones too that I don't know who owns that stuff, and they're probably all owned by Disney nowadays. I don't even know, but like, I remember as a kid just being like, "Wow, that's really neat," because that was something that you always wanted as a child, but you appreciate that more as an adult that they could get their copyright dicks and stop clawing at each other.
Right. It was so fun. It was so fun to watch.
Right.
That scene in the movie where, like, I think Valiant's, like, walking downstairs. I kind of forget, but, like, and then Yosemite Sam comes out. And he's like, oh, my biscuits are burning. It's like, fuck, there's Yosemite Sam just walking around in L.A. It was just cool. It's like they're incorporating cartoons, all sorts of cartoons, into that world. It was really fun to watch.
And having that. I was like 8 years old the first time I saw it. So, you know, and I might have seen it when I was 10. So now I'm 38. So, like, almost 30 years later, there's a lot you didn't appreciate from the movie when you were a kid. Because I didn't know anything about sex when I was 8 years old. So there's, like, a lot of Jessica innuendo Rabbit. And stuff in it. Yeah, I couldn't appreciate Jessica Rabbit's impossible figure, her dimensions. So it was like... So watching it as an adult was like, like the alcoholism, like you didn't get any of that or any of the jokes. Like the baby says, I got the lust of a 50-year-old and the dinky of a fucking 3-year-old or whatever it was, talking about his dick, you know? It's like,
oh, that baby is hysterical,
So the movie is really for all ages. I mean, it doesn't matter how old you are, you're going to enjoy this flick.
I'm not bad, I'm just drawn that way.
What a great line.
But, you know, the thing that really strikes you, you watch this again as an adult, is that it's not played for laughs. Like, there are funny scenes and stuff like that. But the movie takes itself seriously. Like, it's not like they're sandwiching cartoons into a detective, like, noir kind of story. Like, everyone takes it seriously. Like, there's nobody in that film, even the cartoon characters, that are like, I'm a goofy cartoon character. Like, the baby is a working actor who happens to be a fucking baby. Like, it's not that he's a baby who goes goo goo gaga. Like, he's just like 50 or 60 years. Like, they play it for straight. Like, he's been in the industry for like 50 or 60 years. That's his shtick. He plays the fucking baby. Like,
because he looks like one, right.
Because he looks like a baby. And he tells he will always look like a baby.
Right.
But like Bob Hoskins.
Hoskins.
I think it's Hoskins.
Yeah, you're right. Hoskins.
Who's in the great in this movie?
Mm-hmm.
He's great in this movie.
He's all. I can't imagine anybody else playing that character. I really can't. Same with Judge Doom. Can you imagine anybody but Christopher Lloyd playing him?
Mm-hmm.
That fucked me up when I was a kid. Judge Doom. That's fucked up.
Real quick. Okay. When he puts the shoe,
oh my god!
Is there anything more horrible?
Oh my god, the shoe!
It's so cool.
When he kills it,
it's so fucked up, and nobody did anything about it. I kept thinking, why doesn't anybody stop him?
The funny thing is, and this is actually really smart. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's really smart or really sadistic by Zemeckis. Zemeckis, by the way, who I think He directed this, I
think.
Yeah,
he did.
Zemeckis directed fucking Forrest Gump, I think. Anyway, they chose fucking a red shoe. So when he takes his hand out of the dip, the glove, right? Right. The fucking glove is just covered in red, but red ink, but it looks like red fucking blood.
Yeah.
That scene is so fucked up,
it is.
And then they do such a great job. Rory, you were talking, or you guys were just talking about like some of your some great lines. One of my favorite lines though is I don't know if it's, you know, it's shit. I'm not really sure if it's in this scene or another one, but like it's not in this scene. Fuck, I fucked it up. But I'm sorry, I'll say it anyways. There's a part where like Valiant gets like really pissed off, and then he like walks away. And they're like, what the fuck is the one guy? Oh, he shoved like an egg in his mouth.
Oh, yeah.
The guy's like, what the fuck is the problem?
Yeah.
And the lady, real serious, he just goes, a Tootin' killed his brother.
Yeah, I tried not to laugh.
Dropped a piano on his head. Whereas it's like, wait. The differences of like, because a cartoon would do that.
Tunes.
Anyway, I apologize. I fucked up the two scenes, but.
Remember me, Eddie? When I kill your brother, I talk. Just wait.
That's fucking horrifying. My brother used to quote that all the time when we were kids.
I was scared to death.
Seriously, think about that line. When I killed your brother, I talked just like this.
In the pit? Oh, it's scary as shit.
God, dude.
And his eyeballs fucking out.
That is so creepy.
Our generation is so fucked up.
Seriously.
This was for children.
It's so creepy.
This movie was for children.
Let's hear it again. Let's hear it again.
The giant saw.
Remember me, Eddie? When I killed your brother, I talked just
That is so fucking scary.
I'll tell you, there's so many great lines. The fucking weasels are the best part.
Oh, the weasels are great.
I'm gonna ram them. I still say that to this day. When I'm gonna check somebody in NHL when I'm playing the game, I go, I'm gonna ram them before I hit them. Before I chuck them into the boards. I love the weasels. They're the
best.
One
of these days, you're going to die laughing.
I was reading about this movie, and apparently Eddie Murphy turned it down. He was offered the role of Eddie Valiant.
Oh, really?
And that would have been great. Eddie Murphy would have been awesome in that fucking role.
I don't know. I can't imagine anybody but Bob Hoskins.
Really?
You need a straight man to make the film. Eddie Murphy plays Eddie Murphy in every film.
He would have been like, too much like Roger Rabbit in a way. Like,
yes,
all over the place.
He would have extended Roger Rabbit rather than have the contrast, which makes the film work. Like, think about what the fuck? Beverly Hills Cop. Like, Eddie Murphy is Beverly Hills Cop.
Right.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
You
can't.
You can't take him serious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eddie Valiant, too, is like kind of like a pathetic. Like kind of character,
right?
Yeah, he's an alcoholic. He lost his
he's
brother.
A mess, you know,
he's a mess. Yeah.
The funniest consideration for the role of Eddie Valiant was Sylvester Stallone. Can you imagine that? How awful that movie would have never worked. Yo, stay out of the dip, kids.
There are other cartoons again. Like they made a movie with Brad Pitt called Cool World. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
Cool World. Was that Brad Pitt?
Yeah, Brad Pitt.
I remember. I never saw it, but I remember it.
They did a really good job, man. I mean, this movie still kind of like holds up in a way. If it wasn't for it's dated, but the movie still looks good.
But it's not right. But like it was dated for the era that it replicated.
Yeah,
I love that.
But I think there was more
40s.
Yeah, but I think we still somehow. Connected more with that time than like a kid would now connecting with the 40s. Like they had no concept of what a fucking car is in the 40s. We kind of did.
I'll tell you what, that's interesting because the way that cartoons look now aren't the way that cartoons looked when we were a kid. Like, you know what I mean? Like they're very flat.
Everything was hand drawn then, and now things are 3D.
Right, but the movie
They're done with computers.
In Roger Rabbit, though, they didn't look that flat, though. They kind of looked like a little bit. They looked like they were kind of there.
They made them look 3D, and I think that's the difference between that and Mary Poppins, right?
the movie has like 97% on like Rotten Tomatoes and shit like that, which is kind of rare.
Really?
Yeah.
A great movie.
Yeah.
I could never understand the plot. I remember like watching it a couple times going, I don't get it. Like I was annoyed. Like I should have like enjoyed the goofiness in the characters, but I couldn't because I couldn't understand the plot with like the red car and who was stealing Toontown and the freeway. I didn't get any of that as a kid.
The tunnel.
But now that now that I watch it as an adult, I'm like, oh, duh, now I know what's happening.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, it is a really good, solid plot.
It's a solid
plot.
It is. Yeah,
like,
it's
the
solid.
Sinister tune comes into the
narrative. Yeah, the twists.
Well, there were big, like, rabbits in the fucking 80s were huge. Like, you had Roger Rabbit. Bugs Bunny was still hanging on from the 60s and 70s. And then you had like, Peter Rabbit. You had
rabbits were huge.
Dude, rabbits were huge, man. You had the Energizer Bunny. The Energizer Bunny was the shit. Like, he was all over the place.
I disagree. You know what was huge in the 80s? Ducks.
You had the the Velveteen Rabbit. Remember the Velveteen Rabbit?
No. AIDS was huge in the 80s.
AIDS was real big in the 80s.
AIDS was real big.
Everybody was getting AIDS.
AIDS was big.
The Velveteen Rabbit, man.
The Velveteen Rabbit.
Went like way back.
Thumper. Thumper was big. Thumper. Where was he from? I forgot. Yeah, the Velveteen.
Bambi. That was made in like
that's
the
right.
40s. The 40s? Yeah, that's right.
Peter Rabbit. Peter Rabbit. Dude, rabbits were big. I mean, pigs were big.
Rabbits.
But a lot of the pigs didn't really have names. Like, what was the pig from Charlotte's Web? Hey, I don't even think he had a fucking name. His name was just Pig, right?
Orson.
Was it? Orson? Oh, he had names? Yeah. They weren't as popular. Really?
The pig Wilbur, that's Wilbur. It.
But what I'm saying is rabbits. Rabbits in, like, between 1950 and, like, 1988, when Roger Rabbit. I think Roger Rabbit might have been the end of the rabbit era in pop culture. I think
cool
that's when people were like, you know
Roger
what?
Rabbit.
Fuck this
Life
shit.
Life questions with Brian.
I honestly think that, like, he was kind of a weird take on.
What if rabbits took
I
over
think people
the
got
race.
Sick of rabbits.
You know, the film is actually based on a novel.
Roger the Censored Rabbit, right?
No.
It is. It is. I think it's Roger the Censored Rabbit, yeah.
It might not be called Who Framed Roger Rabbit, but it's basically the same plot line. There's more sex. I think there's multiple movie studio executives who are like turning on each other and they're both banging Jessica Rabbit. It involves a genie who's like granting wishes. And Robert.
You don't remember the title?
I'll look it up.
I'm going to try and Google that because Who Censored Roger Rabbit?
Dude, I think it is. It's Who Censored
a
Roger Rabbit?
A mystery novel written by Gary K. Wolfe in 1981. It was later adapted by Disney as an Amblin Entertainment into the critically acclaimed 1988 film Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There you go. All right.
Yeah, and like, there's a part where like, there's a genie who actually like, Roger wishes for like the genie to kill people, and like it doesn't really follow the film one to one. But like, there's a plot, and like again, in the world, it's still fucked up that cartoons exist in this world with real people, because it's something that like obviously isn't real, but like it's like unsettling to think that cartoons
could
be real.
Yeah,
I always, even as a kid, I remember this is unsettling. Can this really happen? I'm thinking, you know,
dude, if it
would
did,
be weird if these like when screwed. Donald Duck comes out with the fucking the cannon.
Oh, dude, yeah.
When Daffy's playing and fucking Eddie Valiant's face is like, oh my god, he's gonna blow the whole place up. I'm thinking, oh my god, this would be horrifying.
Because he shoots a hole right through the wood of the other piano, through the lid. You're like, what the fuck? It's real.
Yeah, and he's already got PTSD from his brother getting killed, so I guess
they did do a great job. I mean, Eric, you're right. They did do a great job like doing that. 1988, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
It's almost a shame they never made a second movie of this, because they didn't fuck up. They didn't really fuck up sequels back then the way they do now. I think they could have done it well.
Yeah, they might.
It has the whole murder plot. Like, I don't know. I don't know. Where are they going to go from here? A bank heist?
I don't know. Eddie gets framed for something, and Roger has to help him.
Yeah, see, that leads into the same problem that sequels now are terrible. Like.
It could be done well. I mean, I'm not saying I'm going to sit here and write it.
Okay, all right. Now, we don't have to come up with the plot now, but I would actually think another story, like, Eddie gets a second case. But it wouldn't be Roger Rabbit, too. But, like, Eddie has to solve another mystery.
Toon case?
Yeah,
I mean, that would probably be a better place to go.
I love how Eddie Valiant
cool
and everyone
to see,
else.
Like, the opposite, to see, like, Eddie Valiant in Toontown.
Yeah.
That would be kind of cool. At least setting, you'd have to come up with, like, a decent story.
Yeah.
But everyone's in Toontown now.
Yeah. This song is so fucking nostalgic. It just reminds me of sitting at, like, Rory's house as a kid playing fucking Roger Rabbit.
Reminds me of, like,
and me going,
West
I don't know
Coast
what the
fuck's video. It's like, I just got this from West Coast Video, and now I have to play it. And I don't know what the fuck to do.
Mike?
No.
Nobody did.
It's cryptic as shit. I played it as an adult, and I barely understood it. Like I said, I played it for the first time, you know, this week. And
really?
I'm glad I never played it as a kid, because it's pointless. It's so dumb. I walked around. I wound up going in the same fucking houses 2 and 3 times, and I finally quit because I couldn't find the dynamite. I couldn't find the baby rattle, so I couldn't get past the snake. I couldn't blow the wall. I'm like, I'm just wasting my fucking time here, going in circles. Yeah, what great, what captivating dialogue, huh?
The thing about this game is,
they know what the fuck I'm looking for.
That is true. Like, they somehow had, like, third person ability, and, like, they've read the whole script about what's going on. They're like, there's no, but, like, why are there, they're not even red herrings. It's just a waste of time. Why are there places that have nothing in them?
Right.
Like, why did you copy and paste a building that has nothing in it? And you get to the end, and the people, as Eric said, they have the ability to know that there is no significance to their life in their house. To whatever
there's
the
so
fuck
many
Eddie
of
eat.
Them. First of all, there shouldn't be anything like that in a game like that. In a game where I'm trying to find clues, there shouldn't be anything like that. Every fucking building should have something.
Right.
So, but there's so you go into so many buildings, there's nothing here. All right. Well, see you later.
The game is basically an Easter egg hunt. That parts of it are always the same every time. Okay. So certain things will always spawn. And the buildings and the people in the buildings are like parts of the will, for example, are always in certain parts of the buildings or caves. And then other buildings have randomly spawning shit like the dynamite and the detonator. I believe you have like a 1 in 3 chance or a 1 in 5 chance, depending if you get to a certain building, it'll be there. So like there are elements of random chance with constant things. Like you're not meant to play this game in one sitting. You're meant to play a couple hours before you go fucking mad or run out of continues. And then remember what you did, and then repeat those actions again immediately so you can get to the next phase. Like, you're not supposed to beat this game quickly, though I have seen speed runs of this game in 5.5 minutes.
They found everything because it's random.
Well,
like,
that's also
amazing.
Yeah, but it also shows, I mean, a game that you can beat in 5 minutes is not a good game. Like, that's your red flag.
Yeah, but also a game that we talked about on the show, and I mean like this, like way back, Maniac Mansion. That was a game where you had to explore it, collect shit, do other things with stuff.
That game is supposed to be played in increments where
do you put this game kind of on that plane where, like, maybe...
No, Maniac Mansion is far superior. It's 10,000 times.
I know it's far superior, but I didn't play that game when I was 7 years old. I wouldn't understand it, Maniac Mansion
either.
That's
what they're going for. Like, that's like the style of game that they're going for. The problem is that their execution is horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
They don't tell you enough to do. Like, you literally, like, they don't tell you get spring shoes. They don't, like.
Yeah.
You should be organically finding stuff out in games. This is what they do now. Like, you start a level, and then you happen to get this thing at the beginning of the level, and it shows you, like, maybe there's a tutorial. This is how you use this new thing. And then it gives you an example when to use it. Like, Mega Man is great at that. Like, they'll show you in one part of the... You'll get an ability or something. You'll go to one tree, and then there's no penalty for fucking it up. Like, the blocks that disappear and reappear, for example. There'll be a floor. And then on the next screen, now there's no fucking floor. So that was your practice frame.
To show you,
this is panic. This is what's at stake. Here's where it counts. This game doesn't do any of that. This game is just like, all right, have at it. I don't even think this game tells you that there's 4 parts to the will. It's only in the manual.
The manual has everything.
Yeah.
Is everything you're supposed to do.
Why is the will ripped up in 4 pieces and put into caves with snakes?
First off, is the game beatable right now? Because they have the number. You have to call Jessica Rabbit's phone number, right?
Why do I have to find Jessica Rabbit's phone number when I'm talking to her? Find my phone number? Why don't you just tell me your phone number, you fucking tease? Just tell me your phone number. Women, just, you know, give me the runaround.
This is why
here.
We can't
Making
be
me
friends.
Jump through hoops.
I think as a child, I did get to to Judge Doom. I did not on this run for our show. I did not get to Judge Doom. I couldn't be bothered, and I could not get. I couldn't finish Judge Doom. And apparently, from what I've seen, it takes almost like 30 fucking minutes to get the dip cannon and then come down and shoot him with the dip cannon. And if you don't, it's an insta kill. So after 30 minutes of fighting, like, you could still get an insta kill on the fucking final boss.
I've been bamboozled by so many motion picture licensed fucking games at that point when this came out that I knew better than to even bother to play this fucking game.
Do you guys feel like this is like your typical nonsense NES game?
Yeah, it's like Gilligan's Island.
It really is.
It's like fucking Gilligan's Island.
If you had like a box full of like 100 NES games and you fucking shoved your hand in the box, chances are this is like the type of game that you're going to pull out. You're not going to pull like games like Mega Man 2 are fucking like rare.
Yeah.
System. This is the game that the system had a lot of nonsense.
The NES shit. 90. Box.
There's like what 10,000 games for NES, 8,000, and I don't know, 8,500 of them are trash. I mean, bad games.
If this is more the rule than the exception when it comes to the quality of NES games. This is a game that I feel is other than Eric. I think most people our age know this game and they immediately know how garbage it is. This game isn't fun. Like, I don't know how they thought this was fun or like passable, or maybe they didn't do any testing with not just kids, but like other adults. I don't know how you're supposed to know anything. Even if you knew what you're doing, it's a pain in the ass more than an adventure. Like, you get the whistle to get the car so you can walk around the world faster, but you're still constantly getting in and out of the fucking car. Oh. The weasels show up every fucking, like, 30 seconds. They do that damn siren. If the weasels catch you, then you have to answer it through repetition because the punchlines.
Yeah. The riddles.
I didn't even have to scroll through them to get the other ones.
I think it's select.
You only get 10 seconds.
There's a ton of red herrings for like the items, like the exploding cigar, the boxing glove. You need the baseball to get by the one weasel with the bat. Otherwise, you can't walk to the ending with Judge Doom. How about just like punching people in this game? Who the fuck determined that's how you punch people?
Right.
Not only do you have to do the diarrhea dance, where you're jumping around. But it's not even like fun or intuitive. What's wrong with every other game where it's just punch, punch, punch?
And also, why did they make Roger such a lackadaisical secondary character?
Thank God it's not like a game over or a death when Roger gets like killed or that might be the only good thing.
Yes.
Yeah, the bird picks him up, though, it's a death.
Oh, that's a problem.
I will say, though, it's nice that they spawn you right back in the exact place you died, except for when you get permadeath, because as soon as you get spawned, the same thing that killed you the last time, like the rat in the street, kills you again. Fucking annoying.
But that's the way that it ran back then, man.
Back then,
Brian,
Ghostbusters,
like, you know,
same
like,
thing.
Oh, one of the worst games ever made.
One of the greatest movies
Literally,
ever.
One of the worst and one of the greatest movies ever. Absolutely.
Back to the Future.
Honestly, same thing. Like Batman. Yeah, Back to the Future. Top Gun. Batman. I know DuckTales wasn't a movie, but it's a licensed game. Chippendales, Rescue Rangers. Those games are like, I mean, DuckTales is great. Batman is very good. Other than that.
You know what's funny? Like
the Terminator.
The movies
the Terminator
back then.
Is awful.
But if we go back to these movies, so you have like Roger Rabbit,
Predator,
Back
Holy
to the Future,
shit, Predator.
Yeah.
Have you ever played? Have you ever beaten this game or gotten close to beating this game?
No,
I've never gotten all.
Yeah.
Have you gotten the final boss?
I have gotten to Judge Doom, but I've never beaten him.
No.
He's impossible.
By the way, also spoiler alert. When the dip goes out and when Judge Doom
like
dies.
The Wicked Witch.
What's the point of the crowbar?
You can break padlocks of it.
It's for a shave and a haircut.
Two bits.
I knew that was a bad password. Judge Doom, back to the game. You have to punch Judge Doom. No weapon actually is effective on him. You just have to beat his ass. But you have to dance around and charge. I've seen speedruns again. They beat the game in 5 minutes. I don't know if they were doing some type of trickeration. they were punching Judge Doom and charging the power meter at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, so, right?
Which are they using some, like, keyboard commands on their computer or something like that? Or macros? I don't know how the fuck they're doing it. But while they were physically punching him in the corner, and it's hysterical. Like, there's 30 seconds. It's like, yeah, boom, so it's, boom, 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 boom. And his head's, like shaking and moving all
it's
around.
It's like tool-assisted?
It might be tools. They knock the guy on the ground. He's unconscious until you get the dip cannon. You have to go down the ladder, get the dip cannon, and then immediately you have to equip the dip cannon before you go down the ladder, because once you get on the ground with Judge Doom again, he jumps up like Catwoman and, like, kills you in one hit.
Okay, yeah.
Weird. You have to shoot him rapid fire with a dip cannon, and then he just floats off into space, and then Roger Rabbit and Jessica Rabbit get lowered from a hook. Nobody.
Well, that's like
the movie.
Well, that's like the movie. Yeah. Right.
I've never beaten the game. It's I mean, it's not a good game at all. It has very little redeeming qualities other than the weasels. No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
The game sucks.
The weasels make the game work because they're constant. It's not like the weasels come up every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So you hear that fucking ambulance siren. Awful.
It's not good.
So what do we give this game on a scale of like 1 to 10 famous rabbits?
All right. I don't know where we're supposed to put each rabbit in terms of a number.
are we rating the movie or the game? I'm confused.
I'm just going to give you
Shut
a number.
The fuck up.
No, you're going to fuck up, sir. The game, I'm going to give like a 3. It's not broken.
Yes.
I agree, it's pretty terrible. Yeah.
So I'd give it a 3. The movie, even like watching it today, oh my God, 8.5, 9. I love the movie today.
Well, I think the movie is an 8. It's a damn good movie. I have no complaints about the film at all. If you haven't watched it and you listen to the show for some reason, you probably should watch it. I know it's on Disney Plus right now if you have a subscription. It's a damn good movie. The game is it's a 2. I would rather play Ninja Turtles. It's a bad game. It's not fun. It's not fun to play. Even if you knew what you were doing, why are you still playing this game? Like, it's not like, at least I know where to go now. It's not fun getting there.
Right.
There's no part of this game that is enjoyable.
Yeah.
I agree.
How about you?
Game's a 3. Movie's a 9, I think. I was really surprised. And it was one of those things I probably should have watched this again way sooner and revisit. For whatever reason in my mind, I don't know. I didn't really run into the opportunity to watch it again since I was a little kid. And I'm glad I did. I got a lot more of it out of it than I did when I was a kid.
Love the movie. Can't stand the game. The game was farther than you can be from the alley of my mindset as a kid. But the movie was right down that alley. So we'll end the show there, guys.
I've had some beers.
Yeah, I've had a few beers.
I'm losing it.
But we're going to end the show right here.
Farther down the alley.
I've had like 4 Baker's Marks on the rocks.
At least 4.
And I've had some cans of lager. Yeah, it's been pretty rough. You can find us on
the Cage of Rabbits. Yeah.
If you want to contact us, go to our website, emulatethis.net. You can email us, emulatethispodcast@gmail.com. Or go to our Twitter, @emulatethis. Until next time, boys. See ya.
Later on.
Later.